We go now to another anonymous in Kearney, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Anonymous, you are on with Trent Horn. What's your question?
Yeah, my question kind of piggybacks well off the last one, and it has to do with sex outside of marriage. I was raised Catholic, so it's not so much rejecting the Catholic belief. I went away from the church for like 25 years, and I'm trying to find my way back in. But in those 25 years, I met a man, and we've been going together, sleeping together for the last 20 years. Well, now that I'm getting back to the faith, I want to be able to get that squared. And he was married before. Neither of them were baptized in any church, so I'm not sure if that has a bearing. But I'm looking for a way to explain to him why it's not okay to not be married. I talked to a priest about it, and he gave me all of the logic about starting a family, but we're both too old to have a family, so that argument doesn't really work to help convince him that we need to start doing it right. And I was just wondering what would be a good reason that might help him see that I want to kind of clean this up and get back to the church in all ways.
Sure. Now, Anonymous, let me sort through the situation a little bit. You are a baptized Catholic who has been away from the church for a while. You are in a romantic relationship with this man. Have you ever been married before, or you're just in this relationship with this gentleman?
No, I have never been married. He was.
He was. Is he Catholic?
No, neither him nor his ex-wife were baptized in any religion.
Okay. Well,
so I don't know if he's even free to marry, you know.
Right. What would come about here then is, even if he was never baptized, his wives were never baptized, the church still presumes that they were in a valid marriage. However, two non-baptized people, if you are in a marriage with someone who is, has never been baptized, between two non-baptized individuals, that can be dissolved aside from death. So that's not indissoluble. It's only a sacramental marriage between two baptized Christians that's valid would be indissoluble. So what would happen here is that still it's presumed to be valid, and the church understands that marriage, even if it's between people who are not baptized, that for it to be valid, there's the presumption that it's supposed to be lifelong. There's that pledge of unity and fidelity. So what you would have to do is, if you two, would you want to marry this man, or are you two, is marriage somewhere in the cards? I know you're older in years, but is that something either of you is open to?
I would like to. He has some reservations on it because he sees it as a piece of paper, that a false sense of security. And mm-hmm. I can understand that just because of his experience in his first.
Yeah.
But so, the other part of me goes, but don't I deserve something that's real?
And you do. And you most certainly do. That if this man, regardless of how old he is, how old you are, if he expects you, wants you to give yourself to him in an intimate way, to give your whole self to him, then he doesn't have a right to that piecemeal. You know, he, on his terms, that for what God planned for us, if we're to give ourselves fully and freely to one another, that's why God created the bond of marriage. It's something for all people. All people recognize, whether they're Christian or not. So what I'd recommend in this situation that one, I guess, for the both of you to go to see a priest first, that I would like to encourage you to come back to the faith, to the mercy of God through the sacrament of confession, and let God lift any of the burdens that have been placed on you in your heart over these decades, really, and to be free from them. And from there, to accept God's call to live a chaste and holy life. And God will give you the grace to do that. He's given you the grace all these decades, and you feel that pull to want to come back to the church, to, you know, that pull of God's love. So I would recommend to do that, to go to confession, to seek out a priest, and to make a pledge to live this chaste life. And if this man really loves you, then he'll make that promise to you, however both long you have to live, the promise to be only true to one another. Now, if he's been married before, at that point, if you two could move towards marriage, there'd be an investigation to see if his other marriages are valid, or if there's a possibility that they could be dissolved for him to marry you because you are baptized even though he is not. And that is a possibility. So I would talk to a priest and then talk to the tribunal in your diocese when it comes to marriage. So, but the steps would be reconciliation for yourself, going to, you know, with God and with the church, the resolution to live a holy life, to follow God's commandments, and then to find a healthy course for this relationship you are in with this man, and to sort out his past marriages and to investigate the possibility of to continue your relationship towards marriage, if that's where it's called. So I guess that's kind of the roadmap I'd look towards. Is that at least helpful, Anonymous?
Well, it is kind of, but I'm kind of trying to figure out a way that I can explain to him why it's so important to me. You know, because I've been for the last year going, I really want to go to confession, but then we get together and it's like I don't have what it takes to turn him down. And
I see.
It's one of those things of I don't want to go to confession.
Yeah.
And then the next week be in the same boat going, okay, I was just kidding, God, you know.
I think Anonymous,
I don't know how to
address
that issue and get him to understand, because when I have brought up abstinence with him and I bring it up in terms of I really want to get back to the church and see where this goes, then he all of a sudden goes absolute extremism to where you're breaking up with me and you never want to see me again. And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I need to put God first here.
That's right. That's the exact correct attitude. In the Gospels, Anonymous, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, to the apostles, and he said in Matthew 19:29, he said, everyone who has left houses or brothers, sisters, father, mother, children, or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Jesus understands that if we choose to follow him, that may, you know, sometimes people we are friends with or romantically involved with will understand and support us, but many people in this life won't. And we do have to make a choice sometimes. I'll choose God, or I'll choose this person that wants to lead me away from God, not towards God. And what God wants us to do is to always choose him and not choose those who would lead us away from God. And sometimes we get tempted. We think, well, I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to be lonely. God, I love this person. I want to be with them. But ultimately, that person will never give us the joy in our hearts, that surpassing joy that God gives us. So I would tell him, you'll have to just tell him, look, God is the number one thing in my life. He created me. He loves me. He has a plan for me and for my eternal soul and for you. And I love you, and I want to share that with you. But if you don't see that the way I do, then maybe this relationship is not to be for us. And ultimately, I would say, you could say to him, if you love me, if you want what's best for me, you see, I believe this is what's best for me. And if you love me, will you help me to see that? And if you don't think it's what's best for me, that's such a fundamental difference. Maybe we have to take some time apart to figure this out. So I think that ultimately, to know, Anonymous, you deserve love, you are God's beloved, and if this gentleman wants to treat you as his beloved, he would not put anything between you and God, and to always choose God over anything that would lead us away from him. So are those helpful words to, I know it's
yeah,
a tough path, but is that helpful?
Yeah, that's really good. Thank you.
Okay. Well, God bless, Anonymous, and let's pray for you that it's a struggle. Every struggle every day in life, I think, is a choice between do we choose God or do we choose something that seems good in this world? We know it leads us away. It's like a mirage. It looks good. We know it leads us away from God, but it looks so good. But ultimately, it's going to leave us unsatisfied. That's the dilemma we face every day, both in big decisions and small ones. So we'll pray for you, Anonymous, and to continue your path, not to the mirage, but to the true joy we find in Jesus.